We've gotten through Proverbs chapter 1 so far. That was pretty easy to do expositorily. There's more in Proverbs that is not too hard to do expositorily. But the bulk of Proverbs is better taught from a topical standpoint. And tonight, and Lord willing, next week, specifically, I want to look at two topics. The first tonight is one that's found throughout the Old Testament, but particularly in the book of Proverbs, and that's the fear of what is going off?
It's my phone.
Is your phone? Yeah. Get out of here. Can you mute it? It is distracting.
Okay.
I want to look at the fear of the Lord. What is it? How do we achieve it or find it? What does it do? How does it manifest itself? Is there any benefit to it? Is there any value to it? When do we need it? All questions that I want to ask. I have heard those who say that the fear of the Lord is something that we should not have. They go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, which John writes and says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So if perfect love is casting out fear, then you shouldn't therefore fear the Lord, or you're not loving him as you should. The logic is sound. The conclusion is false because of a misunderstanding of what the fear of the Lord is. So tonight I want to take a look at Proverbs and answer these questions. The first one is, what is this fear? The word fear that's translated there is a Hebrew word that can be used of being afraid of something. For example, Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 13. Thus saith the Lord, I will also destroy the idols. I will cause their images to cease out of Noph, and there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land. People were afraid. That's the normal meaning and what we normally think of when we think of fear. It's used over in Jonah chapter 10. Interesting that you brought that up this morning, where the waves are crashing over the boat and the men were extremely afraid, said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They're shaking in their boots. That's a fear. And is that the fear that we should have before God? Should we be shaking in our boots? Well, yes, but no. The word is also used in this way. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Okay, there's a fear of things. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. Don't fear this, but fear that. Well, this is bad, this is good. So there's a sense there where the fear of God is something other than a trembling in your boots. This is a thing that will produce or encourage us that we sin not. A man by the name of Charles Bridges said this, it is the affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law. His wrath is so bitter and his love is so sweet that hence springs an earnest desire to please him. And because of the danger of coming short from his own weakness and temptations, a holy watchfulness and fear that he might not sin against him. It's not, our fear of the Lord is not what the Lord will do for us, but how we will fail him. It goes in the opposite direction. Lord, here am I, I'm frail. I have feet of clay. My heart says that I need to love you. My heart says I need to follow you. My heart says I need to obey you. Sometimes my head says, nah, and I don't want to fail you. That's the fear of the Lord. That's a reverential respect. That's what we're talking about here, and it's something that we desperately need. So where does this fear come from? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. fear the Lord and depart from evil. They're set in contrast here. Fear of the Lord is not a natural fear. It's not something that's inbred in us. It's not something that we can just get by walking around this world and observing things. It's something that is based upon the Word of God. It's not in our own eyes. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's something that you have to search after. It doesn't come to us osmosively. That's a word. By osmosis. That's correct. I know that. You don't put your hand on the Bible and say, Lord, fill her up. You know, just let it seep through my fingers, up my arm, and into my brain. It doesn't work that way. We have to search it out. We have to read. We have to divide the word of truth rightfully. We need to meditate upon it. But you will find the knowledge of God, and in finding the knowledge of God, you will say, you know what, God? You're awesome. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of praise, as we sang in our little chorus here a few moments ago. So it's not natural. It's to be found or to be sought, and it's to be chosen. We always have a choice to make, whether I will do what this person says or what the world system says, or whether I will do what God says. It's a choice that we have to make actively. Again, it just doesn't happen naturally. So it happens as we come in contact with the Word of God. What does the fear produce? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What's the beginning of knowledge? Well, first of all, what's knowledge? This is important. The word know is being used today in a way that is not true to its definition. I look at social media, especially the political comments on both sides. I just saw one this afternoon from one of my liberal friends. And it says this: I'm frustrated because Donald Trump is not in prison. We know he committed all these things. No, we don't know he did. Is there some evidence that he may have committed these things? Well, apparently he's been indicted. Is there a possibility of political corruption going on? Yes. Is there a possibility that he did these? Yes. But do we know that he's done this? And the answer is, the evidence hasn't been brought forth yet in a court of law to determine that. And even when the court of law makes its opinions known in a verdict, do we really know? The answer is no. And on the other side, it's, well, we know President Biden's son did all these. Do we know? No, we don't know. Again, the same thing. But we're talking, we jump to conclusions, and we say things that are based on assumptions as we know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, something that is factual, that is true. Why is that? Because God cannot lie. When we open up the Word of God, we have before us truth. And therefore, we have the beginning of knowledge, facts that can determine our lives. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is always built upon knowledge. So it's the outcome of the fear of, or the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom is taking what I know to be true and figuring out what to do with it. I asked at the end of the service this morning about the weather tonight. What do you do? Possibility of severe thunderstorms, even the possibility of tornado. Well, could be a tornado tonight, lots of lightning. I think I'll take a lightning rod out with me and attach it to my hand. that's not quite wise. The idea? Stay inside. If a tornado comes, what do? You find shelter. That's wisdom. You don't go out and say, well, Lord will protect me. Yes, he could, but he expects us to be wise. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which leads to the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Okay, now you figured out what to do. The fear of the Lord is, why should I do it? Because God always wants the best for me. If I don't do this, which I know is the right thing to do, what are the consequences? Well, that's not too smart to stand out there. I could be hit by lightning and you'll call me Curly. Not exactly a nickname that I'm looking for. It produces a godly lifestyle. How does it manifest itself? Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Some examples of evil: pride and arrogancy. Why these two? I've made an issue of this, that maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. But I've said before on a number of occasions, everywhere the pride is used in Scripture, it's always used in a negative sense. And yet we go around, we say, well, I'm really proud of this, my work, or this is that, or something like that. Pride says, this is what I did. All the glory belongs to me. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Anything that diminishes God and his glory and his greatness and his worthiness is pride, arrogancy. Anything that is of an evil way, because God is a God of goodness and justice and truth and mercy, is contrary to God. A froward or perverse mouth that speaks lies, profanities, vulgarisms, that type of thing, that's not God. His words are gracious. His words are truth. The fear of the Lord then manifests itself in godly activity. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know a person who has a genuine fear of the Lord by their lifestyle, imitating Christ. What benefit is there to this fear? The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now there's a conundrum here. I believe that Job specifically says that the days of our lives are numbered by God. We can't live past what he's numbered. We can't live fall short of them. That does not mean that we should tempt the Lord and say, okay, Lord, if you want me to live to be 100 years old, I can go out and play in the traffic. I don't think you'll make it. On the other hand, if the Lord wants me to live to be 150 years old, no matter what I do, I'm going to live to be 150 years old. But why is that? Because God not only ordains the ends, he ordains the means to the ends. How can a person live long? The total length that God wants you to live. Well, I think I'll inject myself with narcotics and illicit drugs. I think I'll go out and imbibe on alcohol. I'm going to smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm going to eat all kinds of fatty foods. I'll never exercise. That should help, shouldn't it? On the other hand, if I eat a reasonable diet and try to be active and do the things that I'm supposed to do, live a lifestyle that may not put me in jeopardy like robbing a bank, could it be that I'll have the length of days that God wants me to have? He ordains the ends as well as the means to the ends. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I can live life if I'm living in the fear of the Lord, that reverential respect of knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do, and knowing that it's a God who cares for me and loves me and sacrificed his son for me and wants the best in my life and has designed his commandments not to be burdensome, but to be blessings. And I can say, I will not fear what man can do to me. I have a home in heaven. As I live my life here, Apostle Paul would put it this way, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have a strong confidence that my Lord is protecting me. And I will have the longevity of life that he desires. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Just a couple of weeks, Carol and I will be celebrating our anniversary. She asked me yesterday what I want for our anniversary. I said, there really is nothing that I want. I honestly can't think of anything. I'm just satisfied with the way things are. She said, you're getting friendship bread. I said, good! That'll work! I can't think of material things that I have need of. And that's my big problem. I don't have wants just to have wants. If I want something, it's because I need something. The last thing that I want is another tie. I have ties falling all over the place at my house. I don't need another one. So the last thing I want is another one. Isn't it wonderful to go through life satisfied? Not living a life that, if I only had this, if I only had that. That's a life of despair. Fear of the Lord will do that. Because why do I know? My Lord will provide all your needs. How valuable is this fear? Better. Then, remember the first lesson on Proverbs? I said one of the types of Proverbs is the contrasting Proverbs, and here's one of them. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Having this reverential relationship with the Lord and walking in his statutes is better than all the finances in the world. I think it was the Beatles. Saying, can't buy me love. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Can't get love, but for God so loved the world freely that he gave. Interesting, though, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Because I live my life in a reverential fear of God, knowing that what he says is true and that He has a love for me and a care for me. And I'm following after the things that he says. And I order my life. Is my life going to get better? And the answer is, generally speaking, yes. Now, does that mean that troubles and trials can't come in my life? Of course not. But generally speaking, as I live those things, I'm satisfied. When do we need this fear? Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, supper time, while you're sleeping, 24/7. There's never a time that we should be not fearing the Lord in that way. It's as simple as that. Here's your worldly wisdom. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
There's a problem with it, though. If professionals can mess up, so can amateurs.
That's right.
There's no certainty that you'll succeed in worldly wisdom. However, the only one that's in Proverbs that I didn't use is this one. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. My trust is in God because I fear him. And whatever the outcome is, it'll be right. That's the fear of the Lord. Question: do you fear God? Do you recognize that how good he is, how wonderful he wants a life for you to have? And do you walk according then in the knowledge of his word that produces the wisdom to do right and remove from evil? Let's pray. Father, encourage us with this little study tonight that we might have that reverential fear of a little child with their parents that just overflows with love and respect and reverence and obedience. Not out of a fear of what might happen to us because of your wrath, but a fear of how we might fail you and disappoint you for your love. And may we be satisfied, prospered in life because of it. We'll just praise you in Jesus' name as you answer these things. Amen. Have a good week.